Hello, and welcome to episode number 115 of the Point of Convergence podcast. As always, I am your host, Exoacademian. Since the dawn of what has come to be colloquially referred to as the modern UFO phenomenon, two very divergent aspects have emerged to create a situation that appears, on the face of it, utterly irreconcilable. On the one hand, this phenomenon is supported by evidence gathered in what we call the quote-unquote real world, that is to say, physical reality. This evidence includes radar returns, electromagnetic effects, soil traces, multiple independent witness accounts, biological effects on witnesses, photographic and video evidence, and more. On the other hand, the testimony of those who've apparently interacted with this phenomenon suggests an experience that defies our very understanding of what can be real. These elements include precognition of future events, memories from lifetimes beyond this one, including as forms not exclusively human, the encountering of spaces that seem much larger from within than without, movement through the environment sometimes with the body and sometimes without, etc. Another key component that arises not just in the contact phenomenon, but also in near-death experiences, is the uncanny sense that what we call the quote-unquote real world is somehow less real than the modes of existence or states of being in which these so-called non-ordinary experiences occur. And let us be clear, if we are to take these accounts at face value, it would appear that what we have long referred to as the quote-unquote real world is actually a subsidiary to one or more subsuming realms, and that even what we refer to as the self is actually a truncated and fractional expression of a much more dynamic, multifaceted identity that exists outside of space-time altogether. Speaking of space and time, also particularly pertinent here is the paradoxical and perplexing way that certain notions expressed in what are referred to as the archetypes and in astrology seem to comport with a confounding degree of precision with the unfolding of our actual experience of reality, giving rise to prickly questions about determinism and free will. Indeed, these apparently pre-existing patterns of manifestation that point to an underlying symbolic geometry call into question the very naturalistic assumptions that are at the core of physicalism, the present dominant paradigm widely ascribed to within Western civilization. All of this so-called high strangeness converges to point to a deeper truth that is truly astonishing, namely that the experiences of our lives are not arising either as real or symbolic, as in our long-standing distinction between the reality of the waking versus dream states, but rather as simultaneously both. And yes, not surprisingly, this has profound implications regarding the nature of the self and the nature of existence. These are precisely the paradigm-shattering and mind-expanding matters that we'll seek to engage with in this, the 115th episode of the Point of Convergence podcast. As we begin this week's episode, I'd just like to remind everyone that if you would like to support this podcast and my work in general, and in so doing gain access to all of my podcast content, which includes POC, Liminal Frames, and Event Horizon, as well as premium feature series, such as the ones on the Raw Contact material, the Seth material, the Dolores Cannon material, etc., as well as OTC Squared, and early access and discounts to my online classes and in-person retreats, you can do so by going to patreon.com/exoacademian or by subscribing on Spotify. All right, with that preamble aside, let's jump into today's topic. This is one of those meta topics. We've talked before about zooming in some podcast episodes and zooming out in others. This is definitely a zooming out episode. This is the meta of the meta, if you will. This is how I described this podcast episode. I said it was about supernormal states and hyperreality, nonlinear time and mystery initiation, events that are both literal and symbolic within a conscious cosmos, archetypes serving as a spiritual grammar for metaphysical experience, reality as recursive revelation. That's a lot to fit in there. And indeed, we are going to cover a lot today. And even more than breadth, we're going to go into incredible depth today. We're going to look into the deeper meaning behind all of this, not just experiences with the UFO phenomenon, but also near-death experiences, and how, via notions like synchronicity, the events of our lives seem to be arising with purpose, with intention, an intentionality that comes from somewhere. But where? That is one of the questions we'll ask. And in order to answer that question, we will have to expand our understandings of the self into the notion of the multidimensional self, which is something I've been talking about more and more, that I also spoke about in my presentations in both Houston and Denver, both within the last couple of months. The reason why I keep coming back here and want to really stress this point, and in today's podcast episode, unpack it, is because I think it's incredibly consequential, not just for how we understand the nature of reality, but also, perhaps even more importantly, how we choose to live our lives as a consequence. I think this really points to a reality which is enchanting, if you will, one which is richly infused with meaning and purpose. So that's why I really want to unpack this, because I think each of these different kinds of phenomenal experiences point to this common ground, the same common ground. Now, of course, I should begin by saying this is a long way from our contemporary conversation being had in society, if you will. We should break that up into two different parts, really, because first we have the conversation being had in the halls of Congress, for instance, and to some degree around dinner tables around the country, where the focus of the conversation is really around the fact that there do seem to be these UAP that used to be called UFOs, these objects or vehicles or phenomena being observed in the sky and elsewhere that seem to defy conventional logic, which seem to point to something other being in our presence with different notions about what that would mean, where they're coming from, and that kind of thing. Then we have a second kind of conversation that's being had within the UFO community. And there we go into even more depth around what these beings might be, how they may be interdimensional rather than just extraterrestrial. We even talk about how they may have been here all along as a kind of sister species, sister humanoid species, and on it goes. And in addition, we talk about phenomena that seem to be attached to these sightings. And here we're referring to things like abductions, that human beings seem to be taken by these beings or interacting with these beings in various ways. We also talk about how that sometimes involves what we call psi phenomena in terms of how these beings communicate to humans, that is to say, telepathically with mind-to-mind communication, etc. That's the more in-depth conversation we're having within the UFO community. So that's two different kinds of conversations. Then there's a conversation like today. And I would say that this conversation is happening within a subset of that larger UFO community, where there are a group of us who definitely understand that consciousness is central to this phenomenon. And even more importantly, not just to this phenomenon, but to our very understanding of reality, of the self, etc. Because this is the thing, if this data is real, and it certainly seems to be by every measure, then this has major implications, again, for our understanding of what all of this is and why we are here. And very interestingly, and I think compellingly, what the evidence seems to point towards is a notion of life, experience, and the deep self that is truly, as I said in the introduction, paradigm shattering and mind expanding. Now, an overarching theme that I want to explore today, as I touched on in the introduction there, is that while we tend to frame things as being either symbolic or real, what this phenomenon seems to present is not just experiences, but a reflection on life that shows it to be simultaneously symbolic and real. And I want to point out here that this is not necessarily a new idea. In fact, people like Carl Jung and Wolfgang Pauli looked into this in the 20th century, and they decided, again, this is a person who is a world-renowned psychologist and a world-renowned physicist, they came to the conclusion that life is actually synchronistic, that undergirding the physical reality we experience and assume is base reality is a field of meaning, if you will, where synchronicity rules the day. determinism only arises when you average out all of the events of different people's lives, but individually, life seems to be happening. Events seem to be manifesting from synchronicity. That is to say, driven by meaning. So this is so consequential, of course, because this changes everything about how we think about ourselves and the lives we are living. As I like to say sometimes, this means that life is happening for us and not to us. So what exactly do I mean when I refer to events arising that are rich in symbolism, as well as apparently being real as we understand reality? Well, take, for instance, how the owls show up so often with the UFO phenomenon. And my friend Mike Cleland wrote an entire book about this, a couple books about this actually, because it is so well attested to. And I want to also caution that I don't think this is just about screen memories. That yes, indeed, I do think sometimes the grays and these various beings will cloak their activities in such a way as to make it look like they are owls or workmen or deer on the side of the road and that kind of thing. But even above and beyond that, there seems to be these certain animals that show up that are demonstrably there in our environment. Other people can see them. They leave traces in the ground and that kind of thing. And yet, in addition, they are well known to be symbolically representative of deeper themes. And this, of course, ties into the archetypes that we're going to discuss later. But even within traditions like shamanism, you have different power animals, and different people will identify certain animals as being particularly pertinent to them because of what they represent in terms of meaning. So again, in terms of the power of the symbol, this shows up again and again. And it's not just that people choose these out of the blue. Often they've had encounters, experiences. They've seen these creatures more often than you would expect if everything is just happening again naturalistically. So again, this calls into question the fact that things are arising just naturalistically. I want to make the point that Pauli and Jung made, in the averaging of all events, it looks that way. It looks random. But if you look at individual people's lives, things are arising in such a way as to drive home these meaningful, overarching themes. Now, furthermore, and sometimes startlingly so, people often find that as they begin to notice these things, notice these synchronicities, notice this high strangeness, they find that it upticks. In other words, the more they pay attention and begin to interact with the field, if you will, that seems to kick things up another notch, where people get to the point where they recognize what I like to call preposterosity. That is to say, events that are arising that could not possibly be arising according to the old notions of how events of our lives come to be to begin with. Now, earlier on, I mentioned archetypes in passing. I'd now like to dive into how archetypes and astrology play a key role in helping us understand the nature of reality and the nature of the deep self as well. So, archetypes and astrology are related as symbolic systems that map patterns of consciousness, experience, and transformation. Both frameworks aim to reveal the underlying structure of reality as it is perceived by conscious beings, that is to say, us. So let's explore how archetypes, common themes of UFO phenomenon encounters, and the remarkable accuracy of the overarching themes identified in people's astrological charts signal something significant about the nature of reality. So let's start with archetypes, which you might refer to as the underlying symbolic geometry of reality. Now, archetypes, in the Jungian and esoteric sense, are transcendent patterns. They're not personal, they're impersonal templates through which our experience, our identity, and transformation are shaped. So they exist outside linear time and are somehow activated or expressed within time through the lives of individuals, societies, and even entire epochs. Now, in the raw material, which I've discussed many times in this podcast, and I also did a three-part feature series on the raw material, archetypes are explicitly described as the, quote, mind-body-spirit archetypical mind complex. That's a mouthful, so let me say it again. Mind-body-spirit archetypical mind complex. And this is a symbolic architecture through which the logos, or the creative principle behind everything, source, if you will, explores itself. And very importantly, the archetypes are a kind of spiritual grammar, not just a kind of storytelling motif, if you will. So this is key, that basically within a certain reality frame, the archetypes show up as the forms that we tell stories through, if you will. When we think about certain kinds of characters or certain kind of plots that show up again and again in literature, for instance, the hero's journey being one, this is what I'm talking about. These certain ways that we frame existence and draw meaning from it. It can be expressed in many, many different stories that follow that general architecture, but the underlying structure follows this familiar pattern and drives home particular meaning as a result. I would also point out that once you start looking for them, once they've been brought to your attention, you start seeing the archetypes everywhere. You recognize it as a kind of, again, spiritual grammar by which we structure our very sense of meaning. Now, interestingly, the archetypes are like bridge points between the personal and the transpersonal, which is something we'll really talk about a lot today, the temporal and the eternal, as well as the conscious self and the deeper self. And in many ways, these are three different ways of framing the same kind of larger aspect of reality, this deeper, broader, richer understanding of who we are and what this is. Now, earlier on, I mentioned the raw contact material. Again, this is a channeled body of work that we've returned to again and again because I find it very helpful, very insightful in terms of helping us understand these deeper structures behind reality. Now, interestingly, in the raw material, as well as other entities that they channeled later, the same L&L research group channeled later, we find that actually the archetypes are unique to some degree to each kind of civilization. So, in other words, at the seeding of a civilization, it's not just as simple as the seeding of biological material that will grow into something like us. In addition, the very way that our reality rolls out and through which we can communicate and understand meaning is also imbued with these archetypal forms, and that this is unique to each civilization. There are some overarching ones as well, but each logos, which is a kind of identity, again, at the most root level, that source consciousness. But then there are also these various sublogoi, which is to say, for instance, the head of a galactic cluster would be a certain kind of logos that sets the tone and the meaning structure for that entire physical existence or that entire meaning set, if you will. And then even within a solar system, for instance, with our solar system, the sun is seen as the logos, the sublogos for our particular civilization and the environment we live in. So that is unique to us, and therefore the archetypes that we work with and communicate and find meaning through is unique to us. So this is something that is really brought home over and over again with the raw contact material as well as other channel material. And I find it very resonant. It's very resonant with my sense of things as well. That in addition to looking out into space and seeing these galactic bodies, these clusters, these star systems, black holes, stars, that kind of thing, these are more than just physical inert objects. They actually are different bodies of consciousness, and that their physical shape, their physical manifestation is indicative of this deeper meaning. So something like a sun or even something like a supermassive black hole has particular import in terms of meaning, not just in terms of physical presence. And here, by the way, I also think about a recent article that Rupert Sheldrake wrote asking, is the sun conscious? And there he is basically exploring a very similar notion. We assume these things are just inert physical objects. He questions that. He thinks consciousness might be undergirding each of these main entities in reality, not just us, not just animals, but indeed these power centers of our surrounding galactic architecture. So the notion here is also that there are higher levels of reality that are referred to as different densities within the raw contact material. You can think of them as different dimensions of existence that one transcends to with greater degrees of awareness, and that these higher dimensions or densities will actually send messages or packets of meaning, if you will, arriving through the events of our lives, the circumstances of our lives, as catalysts which we use to learn and grow and ultimately transcend ourselves. And this goes all the way up to source consciousness eventually. And in seeking greater clarity about this, Carla and the other team members that were part of LNL Research, they actually contacted a being called Quo, which is very similar to Ra. They are a social memory complex, which is to say a collective consciousness. And this is what Quo had to say regarding this notion of the archetypes. Quote, "Each sun or sublogos, as this instrument would say, has made choices in how the fundamental consciousness of the planetary population will express itself. We are not talking about the level of conscious choice, but rather the level of the archetypal mind and the roots of consciousness. For each planetary tribe, there is a unique flavor and quality to the archetypal and mythical aspects of that tribe." Unquote. So again, this speaks to the fact that there are different archetypal setups for different collective consciousnesses. All right, so that's the archetypes. We also touched on shamanism and power animals. We've talked about synchronicity. Now let's dive into how some of these phenomena and similar notions arise in the UFO phenomenon. And here I want to think about the UFO phenomenon as contact with the self as other, because this is a major implication here. And this really, I think, stretches, but also opens up and solves some questions we have regarding the nature of the UFO phenomenon and how it relates to the nature of existence altogether. Because if we are all different expressions of source consciousness, then in a very real sense, not just symbolic again, we are mirrors to each other, demonstrating different aspects of the same underlying truth, the same underlying being, if you will, the same one unit of consciousness. So in that sense, these different beings that we meet in the UFO phenomenon are representing something about transpersonal consciousness, just as we represent something to them. And that this interaction, in a way, is like driving integration in the greater self. So UFO encounters, especially in their high strangeness, non-physical, non-linear, and synchronistic aspects, often mirror archetypal transformation experiences. So we have the archetypes showing up within the UFO phenomenon. The encounter with the other, in quotes there, that could be ET, interdimensional, or post-biological beings, evokes in us initiation into mystery, dissolution of ego boundaries, time distortion or suspension of time altogether, and we encounter message-bearing intelligences that speak symbolically or telepathically, and we run into tests of orientation where we have to make sense of whether these beings are benevolent or malevolent. So all of these are kind of like its own hero's journey, if you will, where we are encountering different aspects of transpersonal depth that allow us to grow in our own understanding. And this is something I come across so often when I read the literature, especially when I think about the work I've done with the John Mack Institute and Archives of the Impossible, looking back into the cases that John Mack was involved in and the people he worked with, as well as letters that were sent into the Strebers as part of the Communion Letters book, but also there was many more letters than that. I've looked at that archive as well. And what we find again and again are these experiences that are simultaneously discombobulating, absolutely overwhelming, unmooring for the individual, and yet that also allow for the death of the small self in order to give way to and give rise to, like a phoenix from the flame, if you will, a deeper sense of self, one that is much more substantive, that feels real, that feels eternal. And so even though the experience can be incredibly difficult and overwhelming, again, a lot like what happens with shamanistic journeys, we see on the other side of that, that transpersonal understanding arises in the place of what used to be housing the small self. And for the people who go through it, the majority of them anyway, from my research, they actually are thankful for that experience. They would not trade it, even though it did involve trauma and overwhelm. Now, this is controversial, but I also think it's really consequential. We cannot turn away from the fact that trauma is so often central to these experiences, and that to some degree, early childhood trauma seems to create an opening through which some of these other experiences are more likely to happen. Now, there are interesting questions that arise around how is there perhaps a causal relationship there, or is it just correlational? But either way, We also see this evidenced in traditions like shamanism, where trauma or illness becomes the opening, the opportunity through which this deeper understanding of reality and of the self emerges. So all that is to say, these themes strongly parallel shamanic journeys, as well as near-death experiences and deep mystical states arrived at through meditation and the like. From a metaphysical point of view, UFO experiences are externalized dream encounters with the self, where the quote-unquote visitor is a symbolic or literal projection of the higher self, social memory complex, again thinking there of Ra, or deep unconscious intelligence. If time is not linear and consciousness is primary, as we've been exploring for a couple of years now on Point of Convergence, then such encounters may be staged inflection points initiated by a higher density self or collective intelligence to catalyze awareness and choice. So I've mentioned before that I've had experiences in deep meditative states where I not only tap into a collective consciousness, something like Ra, but I actually experience myself as being one of the members of that collective consciousness, an aspect of it. And this is something that comes up a lot in the UFO phenomenon. People who simultaneously have almost two personas or more. We think about Susie Hansen. When she was on board the craft, she not only had a human identity, but she also had an identity as a gray that coincided with that human identity. When she was back on Earth, she would just be operating as the human, but on board the craft, both would be coexisting, basically. So here we have the notion that we are much more complex and interesting and multidimensional than we've thus far conceived of. And as I've been saying recently, this is massively consequential for how we make sense of the UFO phenomenon of high strangeness, synchronicity, and the like. The notion here is that we have recursive patterns throughout reality, and that higher stages or higher forms, higher dimensions, higher densities will actually work to engineer opportunities, catalysts again, using the raw contact material kind of language, to allow a tuning for a different dimensional framing of that same self. So where we draw these distinctions between ourselves gets complicated, not just because we are all one, but also because between this incarnational stage and source consciousness, there are these different fractal patterns fitting together like these nested Chinese boxes. And so that means that sometimes when we think we're encountering something other, which we are, because again, it is real, these are physical encounters, but they are also richly symbolic, which is to say we are encountering other aspects of ourselves. And when you think about it, this makes complete sense because if everything is ultimately arising as the many from the one, then this kind of scenario would actually be inevitable. All right, so there we touched on the archetypes and the UFO phenomenon. Let's now discuss another kind of pattern recognition that we see in our reality that relates to these other ones. And here we're speaking of astrology. And here we think of time as meaning rather than sequence. I just want to point out again in my own personal experience, I've had non-ordinary state experiences where the events of my life reordered so as to no longer be chronological, but actually ordered in terms of meaning connection. So it might be an event from 2 months ago and 20 years ago end up being side by side, if you will, in terms of meaningful construction. And they actually made a lot more sense when I saw them from that kind of framing. All right, so astrology provides the most robust example of how time, when viewed symbolically rather than sequentially, reveals a patterned conscious universe. Again, this is a point that we keep coming to, that we have to remember this is a conscious cosmos that we are a part of, that we are an extension of, and that makes a huge difference. And we cannot think about the UFO phenomenon and the archetypes and ourselves the same way when we recognize that we are part of the conscious cosmos. So in this sense, the birth chart acts as a snapshot of a moment, but not causally, but rather symbolically. And again, I really want to drive home, we don't mean when we say symbolically that we mean somehow not real. It just means meaning-oriented, and that is to say representative of these deeper themes. So what does that mean? What's actually happening when we think about astrology and birth charts and the position of the planets, what's actually causing what there. So the notion here is that the accuracy of charts, and believe me, they are extremely accurate if you have one done, I think you'll be surprised by this. The accuracy is not due to planetary influence per se, but because the moment of incarnation, that is to say our birth, is chosen consciously or by the higher self, the deeper self, the oversoul, as I've referred to it before, to reflect the most potent archetypal themes needed for that particular incarnation. So in that sense, what I'm saying is that astrology is a symbolic mirror, and that the fact that transits and progressions continue to reflect internal states congruently, in other words, indeed our lives do seem to follow the general themes that are indicated in our astrological charts, suggests a deep synchrony between psyche and cosmos, a non-local field of meaning. So let that hit home. This is, again, pointing to the fact that our psyche and the cosmos are two sides of the same coin. And that's why we see these patterns showing up across these different kinds of theme sets, if you will, whether it's astrology or the archetypes, or even, I would argue, some aspects of the UFO phenomenon. So here we understand that, again, this is a conscious cosmos. The universe is not inert, but actually saturated with intentionality, again, meaningfully driven or purposed. Time is textured in this kind of framing, not flat. And that means that certain moments are pregnant with specific potentials, archetypal potentials. And the individual soul is not separate, but actually participates in a collective unfolding. Here we think about collective transits or generational planets within astrology. So what we're seeing here is different mirrorings of the same kind of underlying process that is unfolding recursively and across different fractal levels of reality, and that we ourselves are represented at different fractal levels, and that we ourselves are influencing ourselves across these different fractal levels with these different potentialities that show up at certain key inflection points in our lives. So an interesting implication that arises from this much broader, deeper, richer notion is that on the one hand, we recognize we have to some degree less what we would call free will within this incarnational perspective, but at the same time that another aspect of us, the oversoul, if you will, or the deep self, has really rich, robust agency and will use that to create, again, the catalysts of experience that allow for a maturing of the self in this incarnation. So here we have the notion of the deep self as an orchestrator of the journey, the multidimensional journey, that is, and that this oversoul exists outside linear time, and it functions as, you might say, a director, choosing different incarnational setups based on desired polarization or learning. So when there are certain specific elements we want to understand deeply through experience, which is the only way you really can understand it, we will set up certain events in our lives so as to have that opportunity to experience that as energy, transmute the energy, and then grow in deep wisdom. You might also think about it as a weaver in terms of a fabric, braiding synchronicities, symbols, and encounters into the incarnate self's experience. And as we've been saying, another helpful analogy is that of a mirror, reflecting through archetypes and events, both distortions and potentials. So I've often talked about a way to really interact with the interconnected field, which we never stopped being a part of, even though we have the appearance of myriad forms. We need to clean the distortions of our existence. And we do that by working through energy, with energy, and that happens through the events of our lives. Once again, with the notion that life is happening for us for that very purpose rather than just to us. So in this framing, the self doesn't act causally like a puppet master where we lose all sense of free will on the local level, but rather resonantly shaping fields of experience in which the free will actor, that is us, the incarnate self, can make meaningful choices within that structure. So the deep congruence between astrology, UFO contact motifs, and archetypal depth psychology suggest the universe is not random, but rather deeply conscious and dialogical. Experiences that seem wildly different, like a Saturn return, an alien abduction, or an archetypal dream, are all potentially self-generated learning vectors within a unity of consciousness. Remembering again that at these different levels, it's still us, that we have to start thinking about ourselves as multidimensional beings, and only then will we fully make sense of what's happening here, or at least have a much better sense, a much richer sense of what's happening here, which doesn't at all impinge on the fact that these things are really happening. Again, what this does is it includes and transcends the notion or the distinctions between, for instance, dream states and the real world, or symbolic reality and literal reality. Once again, the notion we're going for is both and, not either or. So, as many of you know, I called this podcast Point of Convergence because of this felt sense that somehow this all ties together. This all points to one deep, rich realityscape. So, here we're talking about a symbolic participatory cosmos. That is the convergent insight. And in this sense, archetypes are the building blocks of metaphysical experience, and again, they are unique to different consciousnesses and different collective consciousnesses. We are a planetary consciousness, even though we don't fully recognize that yet. And UFO encounters are liminal events that collapse distinctions between inner and outer, self and other, and time and timelessness, which again says nothing about the reality. It's still real. It's absolutely real. But it's real in the sense that in any encounter, whether it's you talking to me or me experiencing myself in a past life or me experiencing a being that takes on a different shape, a different form as an apparent alien, all of those incarnations, all of those situations point to mirroring of the one deep self. And that at these different levels, different interactions are happening for meaningful purposes. And by the way, that goes beyond whether or not the experience initially feels positive or negative, because just as a nightmare can actually serve to uncover deep movements in the deep self so that we will learn to integrate, in the same way we sometimes encounter beings that can be frightening, and that too is an attempt at deeper integration, although in this case, it's multidimensional integration. So all told, this points to a reality that is self-illuminating in structure and in which consciousness reveals itself to itself through layered symbolic expression across time, identity, and apparent otherness. That's the key word, apparent. All right, now I'd like to turn to one other dimension I'd like to factor in here. Let's now also factor in how time loops and phenomena such as retrocausality fit into this picture of an incarnated self being presented with choices, but transcending a solely linear expression or perception. This is something that Nathan and I explored in the last Liminal Frames episode, and now I want to also roll this in here, see how this plays into this conscious cosmos kind of perspective. So, time loops and retrocausality. This is really about consciousness again, consciousness being primary, reshaping itself across timelines. So, time loops and retrocausality suggest that events in the future can influence the present or past. We talked about that on Liminal Frames. And that's because consciousness is non-locally entangled with its whole timeline. The deep self, existing outside time, remember, can and does strategically insert catalytic events like symbols, synchronicities, UFO contact, and astrological triggers from any point in time in order to guide development, initiate correction or integration, and create realization. So in this sense, choices aren't simply made in a linear stream. They are interwoven like a fabric, with outcomes in one version of the timeline influencing conditions in others. So what are the implications for the incarnated self? What we perceive as fate may actually be a feedback loop from future selves. And there's a kind of course correcting or course influence of the current self through symbolic or catalytic means. Again, this notion that we discussed on liminal frames is that the present is basically the sum total of the interference patterns between the past and the future. So here, synchronicity becomes a form of time loop feedback, subtle signals from you, in quotes there, at another point in time, helping align this version of you around greater coherence across the entire frame of the self, the deep self. And here, past trauma and future realization and present decision can all resonate simultaneously, creating layered experiential fields rather than sequential cause-effect logic. So from our particular vantage point, and again, this speaks to something that Donald Hoffman has unpacked, we have a certain perception of reality. But we know that's just an interface, that's a dumbed-down kind of use of icons to make sense of the world. This multidimensional, kind of multi-directional reality scape is really what's going on, what's really giving rise to the events of our lives and how they're connected sometimes in strange, highly strange ways with our future and our past. All of that is indicative of this more robust, multidimensional understanding of the deep self and how the deep self is in itself one element in a larger frame of collective consciousness. So again, you can file this up and down from the smallest to the largest scale, or said differently, from the most ignorant frame to the most aware frame. Okay, so all that said, what are the implications of this choice mechanism in non-linear time? Remembering again that actually how this works is in terms of non-linear time. Sequentiality is just an artifact of our perception. That's a stubborn one. That's difficult for us to get past because it's not only what we've been taught, but we also all share that experience. And it's only often through non-ordinary states or high strangeness, synchronicity, and the like that we begin to get clues and put together that that's not really how things work. So if the incarnated self is presented with choices, those choices are not isolated nodes as they might first appear. They're part of a branching, multidimensional pattern, like a Mandelbrot set of probabilities, or a holographic map where changing one node reverberates through the whole. So in this view, the higher self doesn't force events, it tunes the field. So this is where thinking about free will in too much of a truncated manner is not really helpful. Think about the tuning of a field, or even the tuning of an orchestra, if you will. So in order to do this, it uses astrological transits as timed windows of archetypal activation, remembering again that the cosmos is the flip side of the coin of the deep overarching psyche, and symbolic events that are also real, let's not make that mistake, like UFO encounters or repeating dreams, are nudges or forks in that path. And that retrocausal feedback from future alignments or distortions adjusts the now accordingly, according to how the field is trying to be tuned by the deep self or the oversoul. And this altogether lands us at a notion I described in the very beginning, where reality emerges as itself a kind of recursive revelation, remembering again that there isn't meaning apart from reality, but that reality itself is the revelation, and it's recursively driven. So, with retrocausality and nonlinear time, the convergence we're describing ends up looking like a reality that is recursive, that serves up symbolic mirrors, and where the deep self or oversoul actually orchestrates initiatory experiences across timelines. So here the self within time makes choices, that is to say, this body mind of Darren, but those choices feedback across time, influencing both their origins and their outcomes. Again, this works in both directions, in all directions. It's multidimensional. This certainly flies in the face of how we have experienced our life and what we've been told, but with a deep inner investigation, along with clues being served up in fields such as astronomy, physics, and neuroscience, we arrive at this much more multidimensional kind of frame, one that certainly re-enchants our lives, but does so in highly strange ways. Okay, with all of that said, let's return to a notion we entertained in the very beginning, a notion that certainly feels unconventional and unfamiliar to those of us who've been raised in Western civilization, and that's going to be most of us. I'm here speaking of the notion that something can be both symbolic and real. We again have set up this false distinction where dream states we consider symbolic will recognize meaningful overlays in those dreams, but we don't assume that happens in the real world, that is to say the waking world, because we assume that's happening naturalistically, which is to say it's happening outside of this flow of the deep self and the interpenetrating scopes of reality, if you will. So let's once again consider this in terms of the UFO phenomenon, how it can be both symbolic and real, and that those are not in any way contradictory. So first we have level one, the reality of the gross physical interactions with these beings. So at this level, alien contact involves tangible phenomena like craft sightings, radar blips, implants, trace evidence, etc. We also see what is now being talked about at the congressional level, biological or technological intelligences engaging with humanity. And we also have social and psychological effects, that is to say trauma, belief shifts, worldview changes, secrecy, and militarization in response to this very physical aspect of the phenomenon. From this perspective, alien contact is literal interaction between humans and NHI, non-human intelligences, possibly from other planets, dimensions, densities, or timelines. These events are reported consistently and often involve objective correlates witnessed by multiple parties or instruments. But even here, the events often violate expected behavior, suggesting that the gross reality that we think of as real cannot be describing the whole picture. And indeed, as Vallée has said, I think that the high strangeness is a feature, not a bug. It's meant to show us something, meant to uncover something about the insufficiency of our current model. So beyond the physical, we also have level two, the archetypal or symbolic layer. And here, alien beings often speak telepathically or symbolically, present themselves in forms that mirror cultural or mythic expectations. Jacques Vallée also explored this. Are they merely taking on these forms because of our expectation or some combination of their true nature and our expectation? Again, ultimately, that being different aspects of the same one being. They also trigger deep psychological and spiritual transformation. And they initiate events that resemble dream logic or shamanic initiation. This is something Vallée's also talked about, and others have talked about it as well, that there's an uncanny overlap and parallel intersection between shamanic tradition and the actual nature of the encounters with these beings that are both real and symbolic. So, this means external entities are using symbolic means to interface with human consciousness, and that manifestations of consciousness itself are appearing externally to catalyze internal transformation. Both of those things are true at different levels, interlaced levels, if you will. So, in this case, higher density versions of the self is orchestrating catalytic encounters across time and across levels. So all told, what this means is that alien contact is not just about them. It's about us contacting ourselves through the appearance of quote-unquote them. They may be real. They are real. They are physical. We've already talked about that. And yet they still function as archetypal mirrors and temporal bridges. So this brings together astrology, the archetypes, the UFO phenomenon, high strangeness, synchronicity, past lives, near-death experience. It's all part of the same orchestra of events and elements that are driving greater integration, tuning the field of fields, if you will. Now, by the way, something else I addressed recently on earlier podcast episodes of Point of Convergence is the fact that again, evidence from these different fields, astronomy, physics, etc., are suggesting that we live in a simulation-like kind of structure, construct, a matrix-like structure, if you will. But importantly, as I described in an earlier episode, while I say simulation-like, that isn't to say simulation in the sense that this is a reality that's faking a real reality, a real physical reality that is taking place for some alien intelligence, and we're more like the avatars on a computer system within their civilization. That's not what we mean. We mean that what we think of as physical reality, the physical cosmos, is itself a construct set up for the evolution of consciousness. And something to think about here is that for a consciousness-induced construct to be effective, it needs to offer an immersive environment that is generally internally consistent. It need not be, however, exhaustively self-consistent, because the point is to present an experiential learning architecture, not to satisfy endless scientific measurement. Tellingly, this is exactly what we find when we do study and measure the cosmos. And in that sense, the boundary conditions that we are running into, that at the larger scales and the smaller scales, our physics fails to make sense, the structure seems to break down, that provides hints as to the overarching meaning-driven purpose. It's real enough to serve up the catalysts of experience that allow us to grow in soul wisdom, but it need not be any more real than that, if you will, because the whole point is consciousness and the evolution of consciousness. And now, in light of everything we've talked about today, let me leave you with a couple of thoughts. Number one, think about an incarnation, that is to say, what you're experiencing right now, as one node within a multidimensional web of meaning and identity. And any movement at any node causes ripples throughout the deep self, like the plucking of a spider web. Other nodes, in turn, cause reverberations with actions taken as well. And that includes not just different incarnations, different iterations of the self, but also the self at different points in what we perceive as time, where retrocausation is just as real as the present being derived from the past. Now, ultimately, what does this all speak to? It speaks to the deep self, or oversoul, which is conducting an orchestra of incarnations. And within that process, we also see something akin to jazz improv, where a soloist, this time representing the individual incarnate life, makes choices that feed back to the oversoul in a richly participatory, alive, and ever-evolving process. And on that note, we've come to the close of another edition of the Point of Convergence podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can do so by going to patreon.com/exoacademian or by subscribing on Spotify. But until next time, friends, from deep within the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, this is Exoacademian signing out.